ཁྱི དེ 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 rāṅgā lū nāngchū tīsāṁ kīvā ngōvā tāṁ chīvā o chīvā tā nā tīndā gā ngārā ndī sāmbā mārā kīvā chīvā māngā tātā chī yāmbā kīvā tā māngā bā nā chēnjir gā kīvā o tā tīsā kāngā o chīvā tā ndī sāmbā sāngjī chomdēn tī nāmā mārā tīndā gā gīsā tī mārā pūyā yāng sīn tīvā sāngjī nāmā o tā shak chīnā chīvā o chīvā nīkṣēn jī kāma nā kāna chīvā tī nāmā pū nā और ये पूर्व गीता ला तेनी और दा शांजु संबत से मोलम ती न जे मन डबर डबिया ची दा ते रे छोजे ची से दिना डबिया ची कायो मा जों से दिना और जी दा गमा ती दिवे सोंग ची दा ततर ची के छौ जिन ने यी दिन ई के ततर सोंग जे से शेम ब सोंग जी दसो दे गीवे सबा दसो फुवा दा छमा दी मंगो बन ने मन जों जिर को सोंग जान जिर को और जी के थबा सम जी Namla Shiva Dang Namla Mashiva Namla Yon Teta Kwe Gisra Tso Phuino O Zuki Da Sanji Ji Mara Gumba Yonso Zawya Dang O Da Da Kwe Rangjian Gangga Kwe Sanji Tawya Kwe Ji Da Giva Savan Da Yongar Chir Chige Sena Mano Jakyo Ding
So as we see, we have completed the preliminary practices and we are dealing now with the actual part of the prayer. And we, in particular, we're looking at practices, aspirations of bodhisattvas who are abide on the ground of resolute contact, meaning practices on the path of accumulation and the path of preparation. So we look at this first type of aspiration on verse 13, where it says, May my offerings be made to the Buddhas of the past and to those abiding in every world of the ten directions. And may those who have not come very quickly complete the intention of enlightenment and gradually come as Buddhas. Now we mentioned before through the practice of the seven limb prayer that we are making extensive offerings to all the Buddhas. And we present everything that we possess, everything that we enjoy, and in particular the root of virtue that we have created over the three times. We amass all this together and we offer it to the Buddhas. First of all, we can offer it to the Buddhas that have already come into this world, the Buddhas of the past. We have to visualize that we are offering it to Buddha Shakyamuni. But it is quite important to keep in mind, to have the aspiration and to think that we will continue to always make our offerings and that our offerings will somehow benefit those who have not reached enlightenment yet. So it says, the text says, those who have not yet come. We're making offerings to those beings who perhaps have not entered the path yet, those who have entered the path yet, but they have not reached the state of enlightenment. And may, through the power of our own offerings, may they be able to gradually complete their path without any obscurations, without any delay, and they come into this world as Buddhas as well.
ཁྱི དང ད དེ ནི ད དེ ཨོ གི ད ཉི བ དེ སངས རྒྱས རྒྱས ཤན ཡོང སྲིད ཡོང ཡོད བསམ པ སི ཁྱི དང དོ ནི ཡིན ན སངས རྒྱས ཤན ཡོང སྲིད རྒྱས དེ དེ འདྲ ཡོད རེ བ རང ཉིད མང བ པ ན མར སངས རྒྱས ཤན དེ ན རྒྱས དོ དང སངས མ དང དེ འདྲ གི རྒྱས ཉམ མགའ བ རིགས དེ མར མེ པར རྒྱས རྒྱས ན རྒྱས ད རང བོ རྒྱས ས རྒྱས ན རྒྱས དེ འདྲ རྒྱས ཡོང རྒྱས རྒྱས ན རྒྱས ཡོང སྲིད རྒྱས རེ བ རེ ཨོ ད དེ དེ ན ར ຈັ່ງຈືຈັ່ງວ່າຈັ່ງເຈົ້າວ່ານັ້ນສອງຈີສີຈີລະເດກົມວ່າລະຊໍວ່າຊິນະ
Sanjaya
我的上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上级上
division of the text which declares the intention to thoroughly purify Buddha fields, and it has to do with purifying the environment. And it's a practice that is relevant to us because we also, in the future, when we reach the state of enlightenment, we would also have to establish a pure field together with that. The root text reads as follows. May, however many fields exist in the 10 directions, become vast and completely pure, and may they be filled completely by conquerors who have proceeded to enlightenment under powerful Bodhi trees and by sons of the Buddhas. So, as we said before, it's in the previous verse, what we were doing is that we were offering all our possessions, everything that we experience, everything that we enjoy. We offer the root of our virtue over the three times towards the Buddhas, now of the past, present and future. In this particular verse, what we're doing is rather we offer all this root of virtue towards the environment so that the environment will be completely purified, that the environment will be cleared for any type of unpleasantness, whether that is in the form of harshness, whether it is in the form of stones, of rocks, of thorns, so that all of this ugliness and roughness will be removed from the environment, and rather that the environment will become completely clean, completely pleasurable, pleasant, pleasurable. It will become almost like a jewel, so pretty and so clean. And as we do that, we visualize that we purify all of the fields that exist within this world. And the text says, as many fields exist in the 10 directions, so there are countless of those fields. May they all be completely purified. And it's not just that we're purifying these fields, but we also visualize that each one that of those fields is completely filled by Buddhas, and each Buddha is also accompanied by the entourage of Bodhisattvas. So this is the purification, the intention to purify those Buddha fields.
ဒီရုပ်ကြည့်ကြည့်စံချင်းကြောင့်ရာဒီဟိုဒီတတ်တီသူတိစဝန္ဒနာ၆ကြည့်စံချင်းကောင်းတယ်ကျင်းကြီးပဲတိတော့တောက်တဲ့နေမိတိကြည့်လူကကြည့်ကြည့်တော့နမနသံပရကြည့်ကြည့်ရပါအောင်တပရချောဝစင်မှာဆောင်းရရင်သူဟိုဒီတတ်တီကြည့်ကြည့်စံချင်းလားဒီတတ်လမ်းလာမရှိဘူးဟိုဒီတတ်စံချင်းကောင်းကဒွါရူတကစံချင်းရှောက်ချင်းလိုက်ပြီဟိုတတ်စံချင်းရှောက်ချင်းလိုက်ရုပ်တတ်စံချင်းကောင်းကစံချင်းကောင်းကျင်းကြီးရပ ဒီလိငယ်ဘလိငယ်ဘမရတောက်ကွန်ခွာကွာတော့ဟောဒါလိတောင်ညမောင်ညစေချေရောညမောင်တို့ကြောင့်ချေတော့တမိကကျေနေနေနာစလာစပါဟောဒါကျေကရစေကိုညကြောင့်ချေတော့တမိကဟောကိုဒင်္ဂရညောင်ရာတီဒင်္ဂရညောင်ရာတီဟောဒါနာစကနတ်ဒီဝနောင်ချင်းရင်ပဲရင်သူကျေဘုဘူးချမ်းပီတိဆောင်ယူရပါနင်းနှီရှိချနေကြီးကျင်းတော့ပေါင်းချလာစေ ဟောဒီကဒါဒင်္ဂရရှိဝါချက်စဒီနခွေဘဒင်္ဂရစေဂျီတီနိနောင်ချင်းကိုယူပါရီဇောရမင်းငင်းဒါတီနဒင်္ဂရကနင်းတော်ဝတီစဘာတီလီတောင်ညမောင်ကြီးကသူတိယူပါရင်သူဘဝစင်ချင်းကောင်းကရောင်ကနာစကြီးရနနိကမနိကမနဝဒါတနိမကြီးကြီးတနိတောင်းတော်ကိုယူပါရီဝဒါသူတောင်းနံပါတ်တံကြီးတဲ့ဆောင်းမကြီးဝတ်တမနတ်တင်ကြီးကိုနေပန်းတော်ဝတီ မစုံမရကျင်ခွေးကနီကိုဆင်ချင်းကောင်းကရင်ပဲရင်သူခွေးကဒင်္ဂရတီဝဒနာဇန်အောင်ချင်းရင်ပဲရင်သူတေတော်တော်တဲ့နိမိတေကြီးကြီးစေကြီးတီရောင်ကိနာဇန်ဖရဝဇာမယင်ပါလီတော်ညမောင်ကောင်ကနတ်တင်ကြီးကနာဇာဝဒတိမေပရကျန်နရှိတီသဘရကျကြီးဆောင်ရာကြီးတော်ဝဒရှိတီရှိတီသုံးနေအောင်တို့ကောင်ကချွကြည်တော်ငွေပဲတော်တော်ငီတော့ကန်တော့ပတ်တော်တမ်းကြီးမရရေပြင်းတော်နေပါရောင်ရရှောက်ကြီးစနေတဲ့ဒီတတင်တဲ့က
Now, we have said that, we see that on verse 14, we're offering the root of virtue that that we have accumulated over the three times, so that we will purify the environment and we'll tell them, turn the environment into pure fields. But it's also equally important to purify sentient beings who exist in this environment. So, if you see, the next part of the text is dealing with purification with a special intention for happiness for all sentient beings. Verse 15 reads, "May however many sentient beings exist in the ten directions be always without sickness, and may they have happiness, and may the Dharma-related purposes and hopes of all migrators be fulfilled accordingly." So here we realize that, of course, the environment, the world, is filled by beings that fall into the six types of migrators. And most of those, mainly this verse is dealing with beings who have not entered the path yet. It is important that we are equally generous and that we dedicate our virtue towards the happiness of those sentient beings. It is important to understand that as those sentient beings abide within cyclic existence, they will of course experience the shortcomings of cyclic existence, which is various types of suffering. This suffering is actually created through negative karma. The causes of this suffering is this contaminated karma, as well as afflictions, mental afflictions, and in particular the three poisons of attachment, hatred and confusion. It is due to those three that the sentient beings experience various types of suffering. And as the protector Maitreya has also said, this suffering is like a sickness, and one needs to understand what is the root, the main cause for this sickness, in order to cure it. So understanding that all types of sentient beings undergo suffering, and understanding that the causes, the roots of that, is these contaminated actions and the three main poisons, the afflictions, then one generates the wish that sentient beings will be free from their sickness. And the word sickness here does not strictly refer to the actual sickness, disease, but also relates to the experience of suffering. And when we say that they be free of sickness, we also indicate with that they should be free from the causes that bring about this suffering. As this is removed and eliminated, of course, sentient beings are placed in the state of happiness, of peace, the pacification of this suffering. And once their mind is relieved from this suffering, then of course they can direct their attention towards Dharma. They can generate interest there towards Dharma. And this is why the verse continues by saying that may their Dharma-related activities and all their hopes be fulfilled accordingly. So in this case, one is being particularly generous with one's virtue. One offers the virtue of the three times so that sentient beings will be released from their suffering, from their sickness, and that they will experience happiness.
ကျောင်းကျုပ်စံပါမရကျန်ဆောင်ကျုပ်ရမွေးချုပ်ပစီမောလမ်ဒမရဒေါနေဆောင်ကျုပ်ရယန်သူဟောဒီဒတိဝါဒဒတိတနင်ကိုသူနေဆောင်နော်ကျေကရစကိုဆောင်ကြည့်ပါလားကျေဒတဘချင်းပြမရဆောင်ကြည့်ကုန်ကြီးအဲဒီဘချင်းပြဆောင်ကြည့်ပါလားဆောင်ကျုပ်တဲ့ဆင်ကြည့်ကုန်ကြီးဆောင်ကျုပ်တဲ့ဆင်ကြည့်ပါလားဆောင်ကျုပ်ကဆောင်ကျုပ်ကဆင်ကြည့်ဒီရှံပါတော်ညင်ကြီးစဘချင်းကြီး ကျောင်းကျုပ်ရဲ့ဆင်ကြည့်ကိုဝေယဝရင်သူရှံပါတော်ဟောတဲ့ညင်ကြီးဆောင်မှာကုမကုံကြီးတေလာယောင်းဟောတဲ့ဟောကြည့်တာကျင်ချွာမတော်ပါတော့ငင်းလူတင်္ဂလာဆိုပဲဟောတဲ့ကြည့်ချောင်းတွင်ကလမ်းကြည့်ရပါသို့ဟောတဲ့ရုပ်ကိုဝေယဝရင်သူတဲ့တော့ဝတီဟောကြည့်ရောင်းတော့ရောင်းတော့စင်တာကျေလမ်းလာမှာရှိဝေကောင်းစောင်းနံခွေရလီတွေ့ပါလားဟောကြည့်သောတံဘုကောင်းလား
Now, It is very important to keep in mind that, of course, those prayers, those aspirations there are done with the ultimate goal of reaching enlightenment within the Great Vehicle. And for that result to be actualized, it is very important that the aspect of the Great Vehicle is generated. And the particular aspect of the Great Vehicle is the mind of bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is generated in dependence on its causes, and the causes that bring about the development of such a mind are love and compassion. And before love and compassion are established, it is very important that the individual trains their mind through the practices that are shared with the small and the medium scope of the Lam Rim. So issues such as death and impermanence need to be contemplated prior to that. And once all these steps have happened gradually, once you have trained your mind like this, then you can reach the point where you can generate this mind of bodhicitta, and you can have this incredible aspiration in order to benefit others. You can say that from that point onwards, you hold the purpose of others as being the main thing in your mind. So it is, keep this into your mind as we reach into, as we reach in this particular point. When we come to verse 15, where it says, "May the hopes of all migrators be fulfilled accordingly," this particular word, the hopes, needs to be understood that in order to fulfill the hopes of sentient beings, in order to fulfill the purpose of sentient beings, it is very important for one to have first generated the mind of bodhicitta, and prior to that, one needs to have generated the mind of love and compassion. This is how the hopes of all sentient beings can be fulfilled accordingly.
ကျောင်းစံပယ်မှာကျွန်ချမ်းဒါချမ်းပတ်ချမ်းပတ်တန်လာမှာကံကရမောင်ဘူးကြီးညောင်ရတီမှာတင်ပယ်ရနေတီကျင့်ကျင်ရပ်တိဆောင်တို့ကမှာတောင်းကြီးကလူကြီးကိုဒီရင်သူဆရဘကန်တမှာချက်ဘူးကြီးဝါသုံးမှာတန်ရဟောကြီးဒါချမ်းပတ်တော့ရပ်တိဆောင်ဝန်ကြီးနောင်နေချမ်းပယ်ဒီဟိုရပ်တိဆောင်ရုံတဲ့တင်ပယ်ကိုနီဒါကနေသူရင်တဲ့ရပ်တိဆောင်ဝါရောင်းရရှောဝဆင်းနမောလတပ်ဇံ
We move into the next part, which is actually the path remembering bodhicitta. As you can see, this is actually the second part. If you see that the practices of the grant of resolute contact has 10 subdivisions. The first one was the purification that had three verses, verses 13, 14, 15. And now we come to the second of those 10 subdivisions, which is the path remembering bodhicitta. And Rinpoche was saying it is quite important to actually make an effort to remember bodhicitta. And how you do that, it is very important to generate all the conditions that are conducive for allowing you to remember bodhicitta, and to do whatever you can in order to place imprints of bodhicitta in your mind. Of course, the more you cherish in yourself, the less you'll have an opportunity to place imprints of bodhicitta in your mind. So the key to all this is to always remember others, to remember the importance of others, and to hold others as supreme in comparison to yourself. That will allow you to place some imprints of bodhicitta in your mind. And as you can see, there are five divisions in that, but one of the ways of making sure that you have conditions that are conducive for the developing and the remembrance of bodhicitta is to actually always have the aspiration to be ordained. How this is because if you look at the lifestyle of lay people, you will see how difficult it is for them to practice, how many faults of the three doors can occur, and all these act as obstacles for the generation of bodhicitta. Once you become ordained, actually you're much more protected, and it is easier to generate the mind of bodhicitta. So one of the main aims here is to always have this aspiration to be ordained. So we look at verse number 16, aspiration to remember previous births and to be ordained. May I practice the contact of enlightenment. May I remember past births in all migrations and in all successive lives, at death, transference and birth. May I always be ordained. So first of all, we look at this word enlightenment. May I practice the contact of enlightenment. And when we talk about enlightenment, we say that enlightenment is this particular state that is characterized by the full development of all positive qualities, a state that is very precious because all negativity and all faults have been eliminated. So it is important that one, straight from the beginning, of the path, engages in a type of contact that will lead to that particular state. When we talk about enlightenment, of course, we can talk about enlightenment on three levels, enlightenment on three vehicles, but it is only the enlightenment of the great vehicle that describes the precious state of Buddhahood. And this, we need to follow the type of contact that will lead us there. It is therefore quite important that at all times we contemplate the faults and the shortcomings that accompany the lifestyle of a lay person, and rather at all times have this aspiration, strong aspiration, to be ordained and practice this contact as an ordained person.
ကျွန်တော်ကျွန်စံပန်ချင်ပတန်ချင်းမိဘမာရီကျွန်တော်ကျွန်စံပန်ချင်ပတန်ချင်းယူရီတီကျွန်တော်ကျွန်စံပန်ချင်ပတန်ချင်းတဆိုဒီကစားထုံးနေမှာတော့ယူကြည့်ပါမာရီပါစားထုံးစားထုံးပါရင်တော့ဒါတနည်းဒီစံချင်းကတော့တောင်းတဲ့ချောင်းကျွန်စံပန်ချင်ပတန်ချင်းယူရီတီကျွန်တော်ကျွန်စံပန်ချင်ပတန်ချင်းတဆိုဒီကစားထုံးနေမှာတော့ယူကြည့်ပါမာရီပါစားထုံးစားထုံးပါရင်တော့ဒါတနည်းဒီစံချင်းကတော့တောင်းတဲ့ချောင်းကျွန်စ
Now the reason why ordination, the importance of ordination is stressed here is because you have to, you will understand this if you keep in mind that we are dealing here with practices of beings who are still on the path of accumulation and the path of preparation. We're not saying that it is impossible to generate the mind of bodhicitta on the basis of a lay practitioner. We're not saying that those who generate bodhicitta are only those who are ordained. But what we're saying is that if you are still a beginner on the path, if you're still dealing with practices of accumulation and preparation, and on top of that you have the responsibilities and the busyness, the activities that come together with a lay life, then you would have much more obstacles, much more difficulty in generating this the mind of bodhicitta and engaging in these particular practices. So for that reason it is said, whilst I'm still on the path of accumulation, on the path of preparation, things would be much easier if I were ordained. And this is why this aspiration is there very strong. It is, of course, quite possible that a lay person, once they enter the grounds, which means the Arya grounds, they can very well continue their practice as a lay person, because from the point where you attain the first ground, where you become an Arya, you have very good control over your mind, over your body, your speech and your mind. And from that point onwards, there will not be many obstacles. But prior to that point, it will be easier to do those practices as ordained, as having the vows of ordination. So this is why this particular prayer, appears in this part of the text. So as you can see, we're at the part of the text that is dealing with generating a path that always remembers bodhicitta. And in order to do that, we need to have a number of conditions or causes to allow us to do that. And the first one is to have this aspiration to be ordained. The second one appears in the second subdivision of that, which says aspiration not to allow the deterioration of ethics. So having pure ethics, pure morality acts as a factor that allows us to keep remembering bodhicitta. The root text says, may I train in the footsteps of all conquerors and thoroughly complete the noble conduct. May I always practice non-deteriorated and faultless, stainless, thoroughly pure and moral conduct. So again, we are still within the bounds of the practices of the path of accumulation and the path of preparation. And as we have said, it is quite important and it's quite convenient in a way to do those practices on the basis of ordination rather than on the basis of the lay practitioner. So you can see that an ordained person, on the basis of the vows of ordination that they hold, they can take the Bodhisattva vows and they can go through the stages of the aspiring bodhicitta as well as the engaging bodhicitta. This is done always with the intention of seeking to establish the well-being, the welfare of other sentient beings. So it is important in order to progress, to get any closer to establishing that, to be able to maintain and increase one's virtue. And once one assumes the bodhisattva vows, one can practice in a way where the three types of moralities remain pure, unaffected, without any stains of deterioration. And the three types of morality that are practiced by bodhisattvas is the morality of stopping actions that are not benefiting others, of accumulating actions which are of the best benefit for others, which is the morality of working for the benefit of sentient beings. And I'm just forgetting the third. I don't want to let you trim some The one I was forgetting was the morality of keeping one's vows. Right. So these three types of morality need to be kept in the most pure way. We have a number of words that are stressing this: non-deteriorated, faultless, stainless, thoroughly pure moral conduct. It refers to the three types of morality of bodhisattvas. As you see, this second verse number 17, which is the second subdivision of that, is the aspiration not to allow this deterioration of ethics. And if one assumes the bodhisattva vows, one needs to, of course, hold all the commitments that are related to engaging bodhicitta as well, aspiring as well as engaging bodhicitta, and keep these vows, this moral conduct in the purest way. This keeping pure morality is the second cause that allows one to remember bodhicitta. The first cause was presented on verse 16, which was to always have the aspiration to be ordained. We will actually stop the presentation of the text here for tonight. And there's actually very little time for questions and answers. Rinpoche said maybe one or maybe two questions. So I'll have you fight over it. Who's going to ask it? Okay, I see some are very eager then.
With all the countless sentient beings and the eons and eons and eons of rebirth, is there ever a time where all of us, for the last of us, will become enlightened, or the end of samsara? Is it?
So there was a question, like, with given that sentient beings are countless and given that they are eons and countless rebirth after rebirth, will there ever be a time where samsara will be emptied? Will there ever be a time where even the last sentient being will reach enlightenment? Is that your question?
Oji dan kuru tayo misi jide jida tse zama tongi jingi yuari. Yang jing
It is of course a very interesting question, but I'll give you the punchline at the end. I'll give you in the beginning that of course we have to accept that there is an end to samsara. We have to accept that. Now first of all, let's look at this statement, countless sentient beings, right? It is said that the limit of sentient beings is equal to the limit of space, and we know that there is no limit to space, which means that sentient beings are limitless. Nevertheless, each one of those sentient beings possesses the potential to reach enlightenment, and each one of them at one particular time will reach the state of enlightenment. So at one time or another, samsara eventually will be emptied. We will come to the end of samsara, but as for giving you the actual particular time, that would be a bit more difficult. Now, when this question is asked, it's very helpful to look at it from this way. When we talk about samsara, you can talk about the general samsara, and you can talk about the individual samsara that each one of us is experiencing. And of course, definitely there will be an end to this individual, to this particular samsara, because individually, each one of us, we reach the state of enlightenment. But when we talk about the general samsara, then that's a bit more difficult to define.
Yeah?
Now, it is interesting also to make this distinction between, let's say, the personal samsara and the general samsara, right? Because although we can see an end and we can posit the end for one individual, what would be the time where they will finish with the samsara? Because they are endless individuals, it is very difficult to posit the limit of samsara for everyone, right? The general samsara.
It's unknown, really, that there is an end to the... I'm talking about the general, because the idea, isn't it, to keep returning until the last of us make it to the enlightenment.
You mean for bodhisattvas to keep returning until the last one is enlightened? So, according...
I know he doesn't know the end, but
Actually,
what is the problem? Although we say that each individual sentient being at one particular time would be liberated from samsara, it's very difficult to give them numbers, right? So this will be the first, to say that this will be the first, this will be the second, and that this one will be the last one to get out of samsara. So that becomes a bit, we cannot define the order, right? And we cannot find which will be the last one to get out of samsara. But each one will get out.
just
stay with this statement that if we're talking about individuals, individual samsara has an end. For each one individually, there will be a time where we get out. Well, apparently I missed the point here that Rinpoche apparently said that if there is an end to the individual samsara, from that you have to infer that there is an end to the general samsara. One more.
A little closer. What are the signs of a lay person reaching the first grounds of path?
Kindeki ten kavla ta sa thambo tobye ki kare la gore ta min jawa kare kare yore sa kimba chi ki sa thambo phape sa kimba chi ki di phape sa tobye ki ta min jawa kare kare yore sa
ori den kimba chi ge sena de sa thambo tobya la ju sa se ju di sa thoba dong ju phalam thoba chang ju sen ba phalam thoba thonglam thoba de so ti nyen ba yin gi wa ro
When we talk about a being, an individual reaching their first ground, when the first ground is reached, at the same time one attains the path of seeing, which is the Arya path. Now, whether you are an ordained person or whether you are a lay person, the type of realization is exactly the same. Because when you reach the Arya path, you can actually directly, perceptually perceive emptiness as if it was an external object that you could perceive with your own eyes. And there are a number of signs, some of them are internal and some of them are external, that will accompany this experience. But the level of realization is the same for everyone who reaches that point. Actually, in the text, Umalachupa entering into the middle way, we have a description of exactly what is happening in each one of the grounds. And in the first ground, everything happens in hundreds. So, for example, it says the individual will be able to meet with 100 Buddhas and receive teachings from those 100 Buddhas and so forth. It's a list of things that occur at this level.
There's one more. I'm in doubt about the line that says, here that's translated, may I remember past births and all migrations. The past is in parentheses. In the text, this is Droa Kundu Kewa Dengyo Chik. Why would it hasn't seemed to be linked, the remembrance, if it's talking about remembrance of past rebirths, why that's an important factor in not forgetting bodhicitta, or does it have a different meaning that not to forget the generation of bodhicitta in the past? What exactly is the connection?
Yeah, Right,
so remember that we're talking about a bodhisattva, a practitioner who is on the path of accumulation or preparation. That means he's already bodhisattva, he has already generated the mind of bodhicitta, so he's remembering the previous life in which he did it.
And
there are actually, you know, certain, you can find in biographies of, you know, certain bodhisattvas or, you know, different beings, how they remembered that they had generated the mind of bodhicitta in a previous life and so forth. And Rinpoche was giving the example here of the great master Aryadeva, who had, because Rinpoche says there are two cases, you know, you can generate the mind of bodhicitta and you can remember it, or you can generate it and there can be some sort of, you forget about it. But then, he says, Rinpoche was saying how the great master Aryadeva actually remembered, came to the point where he remembered what he had done in his previous life with regards to bodhicitta.
Right.
Right. We stop here for tonight.